From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The issue of abortion is looming large in the Senate confirmation hearings of Judge Amy Coney Barrett for the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, that's because for years, the anti-abortion movement has sought to overturn critical reproductive rights in the courts, and conservatives have taken aim at the Supreme Court's seminal ruling of Roe versus Wade. Now, as a member of a fringe Catholic group called People of Praise, Barrett's religious views on abortion are under scrutiny, even though Republicans have denounced Democratic attempts to draw attention to them. My guest is Sarah Hutchinson Ratcliffe, acting president of Catholics for Choice. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
I'm happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, let's talk about the issue of whether it is okay to draw attention to a potential Supreme Court justice's religion and religious views. We are told that by Republicans, especially when it comes to anybody from the Christian or Catholic faith, that that's off limits because of religious liberty. But there seem to be double standards, especially, say, when Muslims are involved. Is it fair game for there to be a discussion of a potential justice's religious views?
I think that it's absolutely appropriate for those who are vetting her to be on the highest court of the land, determine how and whether her personal religious beliefs might affect how she does her job as a jurist. So if her faith, as it does all of us, leads her to the calling of jurisprudence, as it might do, if it leads her to better study, if it is a motivator for her to be in public service in some way, that's wonderful. That's how many of us express our faith. However, if Judge Barrett's statements and writings are an indication, it does seem that she's going to carry out her duties as a judge in a manner that is more reliant on her personal religious beliefs necessarily than her interpretation of law and jurisprudence. That's when it's important that that dichotomy be questioned.
So Senator Kamala Harris on Tuesday during the Senate confirmation hearings brought up numerous instances where Judge Barrett had made her views on abortion quite clear. And I want to play that for you and our audience. And Judge Barrett seemed to, you know, not sort of want to respond to these assertions. But these are, you know, Kamala Harris did her homework.
Now, Justice Ginsburg did not tell the committee how she would vote in any particular case, but she did freely discuss how she viewed a woman's right to choose. But Judge Barrett, your record clearly shows you hold a different view. In 2006, you signed your name to an advertisement published in the South Bend Tribune. It described Roe v. Wade as, quote, an exercise of raw judicial power, and call for putting, quote, an end to the barbaric legacy of Roe v. Wade. You signed a similar ad in 2013 that described Roe as, quote, infamous, and expressed opposition to abortion. Also in 2013, you wrote an article about Supreme Court precedent in which you excluded Roe from a list of well-settled cases that you said, quote, no justice would overrule even if she disagrees, suggesting, of course, that you believe Roe is susceptible to being overturned. On the 40th anniversary of Roe, you delivered a speech in which you said that the court's recognition of the right to choose was, quote, created through judicial fiat rather than grounded in the Constitution. And during your tenure on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, you have been willing to reconsider abortion restrictions that other Republican-appointed judges found unconstitutional. As the Senate considers filling the seat of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was straightforward enough in her confirmation hearing to say that the right to choose is, quote, essential to woman's equality, unquote, I would suggest that we not pretend that we don't know how this nominee views a woman's right to choose and make her own health care decisions.
And that is Senator Kamala Harris, who, of course, is Joe Biden's running mate. Joe Biden is, by the way, of course, a Catholic. And she rattled off a series of instances where Judge Barrett seemed to be very clear that she was anti-abortion. She signed her name on advertisements. She wrote an article on rulings that shouldn't be overturned, but left out Roe. She considered Roe to be a judicial, you know, to be a ruling that was done through judicial fiat, etc. And then a day later, after Kamala Harris's questioning, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, said that it was a, you know, basically indicated that it was a proud moment for conservative women that Judge Amy Coney Barrett was unabashedly pro-life. Sarah, what do you make of this? They are claiming that she's pro-life because of her religion, but that we shouldn't draw attention to or question her religion.
Well, I think there's two different issues at stake in these questions and in this hearing. The first is absolutely the fact that Amy Coney Barrett's rulings as a Seventh Circuit judge, as well as her public statements and writings prior to being on that court, really cast a doubt, as Senator Harris illuminated, on Judge Barrett's willingness to apply the law in an impartial manner when it comes to a number of subjects, specifically Roe v. Wade and whether or not the right to abortion is going to be upheld. For us as Catholics, we believe very strongly that individual conscience is where the freedom of religion lies, and to make sure that the law is applied in an equal and impartial manner will actually uphold that. So whether or not she has a preconceived notion, or she has her own opinions and is anti-abortion, or has ideas about what and how she might rule, whether she's willing to state those publicly now or not, I think it's absolutely right for her to be questioned on those. The other issue is whether or not she's representative of what most Catholics believe about these issues. And that is where we at Catholics for Choice really have to take issue on the idea that all Catholics are, by their very Catholicness, anti-choice, because it is not the case. In fact, we know that 6 in 10 Catholics believe, voters in the United States believe that abortion can be a moral choice, regardless of how we might feel about the decision ourselves. We also know that 63% of Catholic voters believe that abortion should remain legal. So when those on the other side of the aisle from Senator Harris talk about, or those in the extremely conservative groups that are backing Judge Barrett's nomination say, well, she's Catholic, so it's actually a misnomer and one in which we hope to correct.
Right, because she could very well be she could have been a pro-choice Catholic, or Trump could have picked a pro-choice Catholic judge to that seat. But the Catholicism and the views on abortion, you know, aren't necessarily one in the same.
Correct. And the truth is that Catholics in the United States and around the world are not a monolith when it comes to almost any issue. We are a very diverse church, and how we believe and see public policy is and should be, I think, very different and separate from how our church doctrine might teach, if we interpret that to be how we believe is what we believe is right. On the question of whether she should be questioned at all about her Catholic faith and how it relates to her rulings, I mean, I think we certainly applaud qualified, impartial Catholics, as well as justices from any religious tradition, and those who are non-theistic, who are willing to apply the law evenly and set aside their personal beliefs to do so. We also certainly applaud those from every faith who serve as jurists, who understand that religious liberty for each of us means eschewing discrimination of any kind. Certainly, Justice Sotomayor is one that we would uphold as one who's doing that right now as a Catholic on the Supreme Court.
Right. That's a really good point that there is a Catholic on the Supreme Court who is pro-choice, and that is Sonia Sotomayor. Do you see a hypocrisy in how Amy Coney Barrett's religious views are guarded by Republicans, the same Republicans who don't have a problem pointing out the religious views or the religious affiliation of other people in the public, such as Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who has repeatedly been attacked by Republicans and President Trump? In fact, she tweeted, let's be clear about this. If a Muslim woman was nominated to the Supreme Court, you would see Republicans lose their mind about her religious background. Sharia law would be trending right now. Miss me with the pearl clutching and all this righteous talk about religious freedom.
I think that the Congresswoman is absolutely right. I think that those in the ultra-conservative wing of the anti-abortion issue, those who would use religious faith, and particularly ultra-conservative Christian and Catholic faith as a weapon to wield against those who want to ensure freedom of choice for everyone, it would have a very different story, I think, if the religious beliefs were as strong in someone from a different faith that they weren't as aligned with. However, I think it's important and extremely dangerous for us who believe that for us to question whether someone's faith matters or doesn't. Of course it does. And of course, our First Amendment protects each of us, both from for the right to free assembly, the right to align ourselves with groups, and the right to express our faith. Luckily for all of us, the First Amendment also protects, the Establishment Clause of the Constitution also protects each of us from an imposition by the state or the servants of that state, injustices and policymakers, from imposing religious views on everyone in law. So that, I think, is the crux of where and how the questioning of whether and when Judge Barrett's views might render her impartial.
She said in response to questioning, my personal church affiliation or my religious belief would not bear in the discharge of my duties as a judge. But, you know, if she's been open about her views, if she's signed on to advertisements in the past, I mean, some of these ads that Kamala Harris cited were only from 2013 and 2014. These weren't things that she did, you know, in her college years or high school or anything. These were relatively recent, within the past decade. If she's been this open about her views while pursuing a career as a judge, then one really does have to question whether she can separate her own religious views from the rulings that she would write. Because, of course, once she's confirmed, she's confirmed. This is a lifetime appointment. There's no redo. There's no going back, you know,
right.
Sort of impeaching
right.
a justice.
Well, and I think you asked about the hypocrisy before, and I think it is hypocritical to suggest that those in the Trump administration and all of those, both in the Senate in the political sphere in general, who are backing Judge Barrett's nomination, don't know exactly how she's going to rule or exactly what she believes, because they have followed her writings, they have followed her statements, and they do know where she lies in this issue. You know, she can avoid the conversation, she can duck the question. She's shown herself to be able to do that a bit artfully, as others have done, but the truth is, we do know, and it comes down to a question of whether or not the freedom of choice, the freedom of religion, the freedom for each of us to exercise our own bodily autonomy and moral agency is protected by the Constitution, or only for those who believe certain way and certain things and would like to dictate what public policy says about a woman's right to choose.
I mean, it's really amazing also to see Amy Coney Barrett refuse to give any specific answers to so many important and relevant questions that senators are asking her. Usually, it's generally been the Democratic senators that are asking the hard questions. And her answer over and over again is that she can't give a response because it's a hypothetical question that she would have to weigh all sides. I mean, it's really quite remarkable because, you know, you basically get the impression that she is hiding her views.
I mean, I think that many who have been through the nomination process for the higher courts and specifically for the Supreme Court have shown themselves on both sides of several issues to be reticent to speak in hypotheticals. It's become the tradition that I think was started by Justice Ginsburg herself. But I think that the idea, again, I'll come back to the two points that I think are really important for us to remember. One is that Judge Baer does have a very strong view on this issue in particular, a couple of other issues as well. But also she has views about what and how her faith should dictate how she does her job as a jurist. Mm-hmm. We've also seen her in writings and statements on issues like the death penalty, what she believes is the case for how and whether she could separate or should separate her views from her job. The second issue is that Judge Barrett's Catholicism is not the question. The question is whether the rest of us as Catholics are being represented by someone whose views are, despite what might be reported, the minority of what Catholics believe.
So let's talk about the fact that she hails from this church called People of Praise that, you know, some have referred to as what's called a charismatic group. I'm not really sure what that means. Maybe you can explain that, a Catholic charismatic group. Others have said it's a fringe church, and still others have said it's not. What do we know about this this church group, this church, People of Praise, that some have even said inspired Margaret Atwood's dystopian novel about a misogynist future, The Handmaid's Tale?
I mean, I think it's, I mean, I'm certainly not an expert in the charismatic movement of the Catholic Church. So I
what
wouldn't
is it
really
even?
Want to
what,
speak if, to or try to explain. It's a movement of Catholics who believe that, my understanding, limited as it is, my understanding is that it's a movement of Catholics who believe that they gather together and live their faith in more of a community and communally, and with norms and mores that follow a more stricter interpretation of Catholic doctrine. That's honestly the best I can do. I don't want to speak for a group that I don't belong to. I don't think that's appropriate. However, I think that, again, the point is for us to decide whether and when we want to have someone who, as you point out, is a lifetime appointment to represent and interpret the law for every single one of us, Catholic or not, conservative or liberal, progressive or progressive, that her views, her writings, her public statements, and how she lives her faith out loud, if you will, seems to be indicative of how she's going to do her job as a jurist and as a justice if she were to be confirmed. So at Catholics for Choice, we certainly have grave concerns about her ability to do that impartially. And we hope that the Senate will consider whether or not she's the right person to be confirmed.
Well, I'm also wondering if the hearings have revealed just how distorted the idea of religious liberty in American government has become. Republicans have used this idea as a bludgeon to push through basically, you know, Christianity as a guiding force in government, even though we're supposed to have a separation of church and state. Do you see the, you know, with Lindsey Graham celebrating the fact that she is this proudly pro-choice Catholic woman in his opening statements, do you see this idea of religious liberty really, you know, the distortion of religious liberty on full view?
Absolutely. It is the most dangerous part of this last few years. And as those who are fighting against a number of different civil liberties are using religion and the cry against religious liberty as a means to discriminate against those who disagree with them. It is not the fact that religious freedom should be something that is used as a sword to pierce the freedom of others, but instead it should be a shield to protect us from being imposed upon, by those who are agents of the state. The separation of church and state is a fundamental principle of our nation, and it is because of minority religious voices. In this country, once Catholics were that, that it protects all of us from having one religious narrow set of views being enacted into public law. Religious freedom should not and cannot be about telling people how to believe or practice or what is the right way to think, but it's about giving people the space to follow their own conscience, to follow their own tradition, to exercise their faith in what they believe and practice. But those practices can't be imposed. That is not the point, and it is against what we believe as Catholics and as Americans.
And of course, the Republicans are giving American people and senators an extremely short window of time to express themselves around this Supreme Court nominee. They are rushing through her nomination at record speed. They're doing it while millions of Americans are casting ballots in an election. And there is very little opportunity to see how the American people would react to, you know, via their representatives in the Senate, what Amy Coney Barrett's views are. I mean, it just seems to be a deeply undemocratic process unfolding, not to even bring up the hypocrisy from what Republicans did 4 years ago to Obama.
Right, right. That's a whole nother show. Yeah. I think that the idea that that we are in as contentious a moment as we are, the idea that this election is one that I think we're seeing record turnout in many, many, many places of early voting and absentee voting. I think that the fact that the pandemic and its consequences have affected what and how people feel about our government, about our society, about our the safety of voting, and so are doing everything they can to make sure that their vote is counted safely, is proof positive that now is not the time for them to rush as important a nomination, a confirmation, a decision about the highest court of the land in a month before an election that's already started. As you point out, yeah, many people are voting right now. So what's the hurry?
And it's just remarkable to see Republicans' questions. Just, you know, one example, Senator Ted Cruz spent his time questioning Amy Coney Barrett by asking her how long she's played the piano, whether her kids have had piano lessons, what distance learning has been like for her kids in the household, and what advice she would give little girls. To a person who basically will tilt the court into a supermajority conservative direction for decades. Quite remarkable. Well, Sarah, give out a website for Catholics for Choice so people can find out more about the work that your organization does.
Absolutely. CatholicsForChoice.org is our website, and we are on Twitter and Facebook. Happy to connect with anyone, both about our statements and our work around this nomination in particular, and certainly around our work in general to lift up the voices of Catholics who believe differently from the Catholic hierarchy on issues of religious liberty, reproductive health, rights, and justice.
That's CatholicsForChoice.org. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you, Shanali.
My guest has been Sarah Hutchinson Ratcliffe, acting president of Catholics for Choice. We've been discussing Amy Coney Barrett's anti-abortion views, among other things. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.